What a blessing to get to sing great truths from God's Word to the God who gave us the Word. And so thankful we sing a lot of truth tonight, but I was thinking about that, how our value isn't seen in us at all. Not in what we do that's right or in what we do that's wrong. We saw that truth through several of those songs. It's not my guilt and shame that God sees my worth in. It's not when I do good, my righteousness and my goodness that he sees my worth in. It's only in Christ. And aren't you glad? What a Savior. I want to invite you to look in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31 and find verse 12. And tonight we're gonna move on from the tabernacle. I appreciate Brother Ben preaching last week on the Holy of Holies. And to be sure, Brother Ben said I left a lot out. And to be sure, we could never in this lifetime exhaust all the truths that are seen in the mercy seat of God. The veil that was torn, that is his flesh. And there are so many deep truths, so many amazing truths, and I would encourage you to study those truths out on your own. But we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about something that we've actually seen a lot as we've walked through some portions of Scripture in the Old Testament. And we're going to talk about the Sabbath tonight. So Exodus 31, find verse 12. Everybody, if you're able, will you stand with me? And we're going to do what we've been doing lately. I'm going to pray and ask God to bless his word, and then we'll read the word while we're standing, okay? Let's pray. Merciful Father, we come before your throne of grace again tonight. I know that we've been busy, and people have been running around with work and school and life, but I pray right now in this moment we will slow down, that we'll stop, that we'll rest, that tonight, spiritually, we will sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him. I pray that you'd help me to preach the word by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that your Spirit would guide us into all truth. And I pray that we can all walk away from this place tonight and say, oh, what a Savior. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of everyone who hears in this room or watching online, wherever they might be, if anyone hearing the message has never been born again, that tonight they would come to Jesus. Tonight they would trust with all their heart in his death and resurrection and be saved. For all who are saved, that you'd help us to continue in your word as genuine disciples, Lord, disciples indeed. Help us to be disciples who make disciples for your glory. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, help us to see your grace and mercy more clearly now than ever before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing. Verse 12 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore. For it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Please be seated. Most of you have studied your Bibles very long at all, are familiar with the concept of Sabbath rest. And maybe some of you grew up in a time when Sunday was treated as the Sabbath day. I grew up most of my life thinking Sunday was the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day was the seventh day, and Sunday is the first day. And so there was a change in the way the Old Testament saints worshiped and the way that we worship today. We'll talk about that a little bit. But this goes all the way back to the beginning, and God mentions it here, doesn't he? 6 days, because God made the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And those phrases, he rested, that's where we get the word Sabbath from. That's where it comes from. God rested. Now, real quick, did God take a break and rest because he was tired? Can God get tired? No, he's infinitely powerful. He's infinitely present. He's infinitely has every ability. So he didn't rest because he was tired. The word rest means that he ceased. To rest means to stop. To rest is an intermission. Have you ever been to an event where there was an intermission? Right? So you go through part of it, and then there's a stopping. There's a ceasing. There's a time period where nothing's happening, and then it starts back up again. And God created everything in 6 literal 24-hour days. All the people said, amen. Created everything in 6 literal 24-hour days. And on the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. So he stopped creating. And everything that he created in the beginning was very, it was very good. And we messed it up. But the Lord established the seventh day as a weekly day of rest. He talks about it again. We read this so many times, Exodus 16, 23. He said unto them, this is which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that ye will see that which remaineth over lay up for you to keep until the morning. Remember, several months ago we learned about the manna that God sent down, but they could gather it up every day. But on Friday they had to gather twice as much because God didn't want them to gather up on Saturday. And listen, if they listened to God, God blessed them. And if they did what they were told, then God would keep it and it would stay good. If they disobeyed, it would rot and it would stink. Okay, so God keeps telling them about this Sabbath throughout the Old Testament. And there are so many more. Let me give you just a couple more. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And then, after we've been studying about the tabernacle and all the things that they made and all that they did, it was on the Sabbath day that the priests would go in and they would make the show bread. Remember we learned about that? They would take the show bread. I heard in a sermon that each one of those loaves was made with something like 6.5 pounds of flour. That sounds like a huge loaf. You know, I had a little picture on the screen. It's like this little thing, this cute little piece of flatbread, but that would have been huge, wouldn't it? Man, I'm no baker, but I'd like to have a cake made with 6.5 pounds of flour. Amen? Amen? All right, there's two or three of you that are messed up like me. I hear that sugar is more addictive than a lot of hard drugs, and I believe it. I believe it. So he said to them on the sixth day, or on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, they would go in, the priest would make new showbread every time. And so all through the Old Testament, God gives us this day of rest. He gives us this day of rest. And we're going to learn that Jesus is the fulfillment of that rest. So let's fast forward all the way through the Old Testament, all the way into the New Testament, and let's find Matthew chapter 12 in our Bibles tonight. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. It says corn, but if you really study it out, it's fruit, it's grain, probably barley or wheat, not sweet corn like they grow down here at the river. Okay? His disciples were and hungered. Anybody else and hungered tonight? Okay. I'm with you, brother. And began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, if you're like me, you've probably read this before and been a little bit confused, because it seems like that the disciples broke the law and Jesus excuses them from breaking the law. But we're going to study tonight, and I think we'll find that that's not what happened at all. As a matter of fact, the law said, when thou comest, in Deuteronomy 23:25, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. So the law made a provision for those who were traveling. And listen, they didn't have interstate highways or even old highways. They had some roads that were made in that day, but there were also places where you just had standing grain. You had standing grain, and there were paths in between the rows, and that's how you traveled from one place to another. And so all around Galilee, all around the Sea of Galilee, at this time, and obviously it was near the harvest time, you would have had rows and rows. And you've driven by that before, haven't you? I mean, I know a lot of you right now got the picture of corn in your mind, but how many of you have ever seen a wheat field? Okay? So you get that idea, the Kansas boys here tonight. You've seen some wheat fields and the rows between them, and so they would travel from place to place. Now, what was Jesus doing at this time with his disciples? Well, he was going around Galilee preaching in the synagogues. And so he had been to a synagogue preaching and was going to another place, and as they walked through, the disciples were hungry. So as they would walk by, they would grab a handful of grain. They would rub their hands together. They would probably take all of that came apart and toss it in the air. And the chaff would blow away. And they would catch the grain. And then they would eat it like you might eat corn nuts. Though I reckon corn nuts are a lot better than raw barley or raw wheat. But let me ask you a question. How hungry do you reckon they were if they're just eating raw grain off the stalk? But by the Word of God says they were hungry. It doesn't say they just felt like having a snack, 20 minutes after you eat. They were hungry. And so the Pharisees saw this. Now, I want you to think about this with me for just a moment. What were the Pharisees doing? They weren't following Jesus like disciples. Were they hiding in the stalks, spying on them? Because it's sure what it seems like. I mean, I don't know that that's exactly how it went down, but they're walking through grain, standing grain. It's hard to see somebody walk through standing grain. They're walking through the standing grain, and when they pluck this and they rub their hands together and they eat, the Pharisees, it's almost like they jump out from behind the bushes and say, "Aha, we caught you." I don't know that's exactly how it went down, but that's the picture that you get. And the accusation is what they did was not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But the Bible says that it is lawful to do that. The problem is that the Jews of that day had something called the Talmud, which is the oral tradition and written tradition of the rabbis throughout the ages, where they had added 24 chapters dedicated to what you cannot do on the Sabbath day. There was one man I read about who studied, one rabbi who studied these 24 chapters. He spent 2 years studying one chapter. They had great laws like this. No one may carry a load heavier than a dried fig on the Sabbath day. Nothing larger than an olive can be eaten. Throwing an object into the air with one hand and catching it with the other is prohibited, but you can throw something with one hand and catch it in the same hand. If you were overtaken by the Sabbath as you reach for some food, like the stroke of midnight, kind of the sunset, as you were reaching to grab some food and it became the Sabbath day, you had to drop it. But these people ate fast. Chairs couldn't be moved on the Sabbath day because they might make furrows on the floor, and that would be like plowing your field. You guys with me? Listen, this is just a few selection, and it were more and more and more and more. And there were Pharisees and rabbis who spent nothing of their life. They spent their entire lives doing nothing but learning these laws and putting these burdens on people. Can you imagine that? Now, just real quick poll. How many of you have read the first 5 books of your Bible? You've read that at some point in your life? Okay. If you've read God's law, is that not a heavy burden? Now imagine somebody spending all their lifetime just adding to that. Women, you couldn't look at a mirror on the Sabbath day because you might see a gray hair and be tempted to pluck it out. Pluck all those gray hairs on Friday, get that done before Saturday. If somebody was sick on the Sabbath day, this is the heart behind these laws. Remember, the Pharisee said, you've done what is not lawful. We're not talking about God's law. They're talking about their own law. If somebody was sick on the Sabbath day, you could only treat them to the point of saving their life, but you could not treat them to the point of making them better. Now, how'd you like to be the sick guy? I'm pretty sure I'm dying. I'm going to need something. Nah, I don't think you're dying. I think you just want to feel better. You'll have to wait till tomorrow. No sowing, plowing, reaping, grinding, baking, threshing, binding sheaves, winnowing, sifting, dyeing, shearing, spinning, kneading, separating or weaving two threads, tying or untying a knot, or sewing two stitches could be done on the Sabbath day. And by the way, one of the reasons that they didn't like what the disciples of Jesus were doing, because they counted all of that, by grabbing a handful, that was like sickling the wheat. That was gathering. And by rubbing their hands together, that was like threshing. And by tossing the grain to get the chaff out of it, that was winnowing. And so they had violated not just one law, but law after law after law after law. And another thing, you could only travel 3,000 feet from your house. Unless on the previous day you place food within 3,000 feet of the home, and then you could go there to eat it, since the food was an extension of your home. Or you could tie a string from your house to the neighbor's house, or lay a board across from your house to the neighbor's house, or tie a rope or something across from your house to the neighbor's house to tie them together, and then their house became your house, and you could go 3,000 feet from their house. So not only did they make up all these ridiculous laws, but then they spent a lot of time making up more ridiculous laws to get around the laws that they made. In our day, it reminds me of our lawmakers. I mean, it really does. We keep adding stupid things to our law books, and we don't enforce the good ones that we have.
Amen.
So, did Jesus' disciples sin by eating the grain? The answer is no. They may have sinned against the Jews' made-up laws, but they didn't sin against the law of God. God's law didn't say you couldn't go more than 3,000 feet on the Sabbath day. God's law didn't say that you couldn't eat anything on the Sabbath day. God's law gave very specific instructions. Now, you couldn't go out and take the sickle into your field. You couldn't go out and harvest your whole field. But if you were walking from one place to another, you could grab a handful of grain. So there was a difference between working. Now, what the Lord's going to teach us here in this passage is not just the details of the law, but what really has always mattered about the law. He's going to get to the heart of the law. So look at the example that he gives. Look at the illustrations that the Lord gives back in verse 3. Now, I want you to get this for just a second. Who is the Lord talking to in verse 3? He's speaking to the Pharisees. Now, remember where the Pharisees came from? At about 5 years of age, they went to school where they learned to memorize the Torah. But the fact that they're Pharisees tells us that they excelled at that. That means that these men had memorized the first five books of their Bible in Hebrew by the time they were 12 years old. And then they had continued to memorize and learn to apply the scriptures, not just the Torah, but all of the Tanakh, all of the Old Testament scriptures. They had spent their entire lives. The fact that they're Pharisees means that these are grown men. They're not children. They had been studying the scriptures their entire lives. Are you listening? It's really important to get that because Jesus, notice what he says to them. Have ye not read? Can you imagine saying to somebody who memorized the first five books of the Bible by the time they were 12, have you never read your Bible? Can you imagine how insulting this was to them? But the Lord says, haven't you read? Haven't you read what David did when he was hungry? And the ones that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat? We're not going to take the time to read it tonight, but if you want to jot this down, 1 Samuel chapter 21, and you can read about that when David comes to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And the priest was scared to death. He didn't know what was going on. And he said, listen, and listen, it's a crazy story. David even lies about what he's doing there. He lies about what he's doing there, but he gets bread for his people. The priest says, I don't have anything else for you but the showbread. And so he gives that to them. Why? Because God's laws are for the good of man. And they don't supersede the necessity of man. The Pharisees' heart was to let someone die rather than risk treating them on the Sabbath day and thus breaking the law. You realize how messed up that is? When you value keeping some law above the health and the well-being of a human being, we have gotten everything turned upside down. Right? Okay, let me just pick on another world religion for a second. In Hinduism, people value a fly or an animal or a cow are considered sacred, and they will let thousands of people starve to death before they would kill an animal to feed the people. You know why? Because they value those animals more than people. And that's the same heart that the Pharisees had, that we're gonna value these laws that we've created more than we value the people that they're supposed to help. The purpose of the law is to bring us to Christ, not to put burdens on people that they could never carry. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So God says, David broke the law, but it was permissible. God didn't kill him that day and all the men who were with them because they were hungry. They were starving. They needed to eat. And so what their need was greater. God has mercy. God has mercy. And then he says, have you read in the law on the Sabbath days? The priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. What's the main law of the Sabbath? Do no work on the Sabbath day. Don't work on the Sabbath day. Let me ask you, do you think the priests worked every time on the Sabbath? On the Sabbath day, they had to do twice as many sacrifices. You know what they weren't supposed to do? Kindle a fire. You know what the priest did? They built big fires. How many of you have ever slaughtered an animal before? Anybody? See a few of you. Is that pretty easy? Not much work involved? A lot of work involved, right? You know how many animals the priest had to kill every Sabbath day? How much work that they had to do? Sacrificing those animals, burning those animals, doing all the work. And the Lord says, you guys, you really ought to read the scriptures. Because the priests profane the Sabbath every day. Every week they profane the Sabbath and they're blameless. Why? Because they have a service to do to God. You with me? Not only is necessity more important, but serving God is the point. Serving God is the point. And what were the disciples of Jesus doing? Well, they were serving the Lord by walking with Jesus. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So, look down at verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. When he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. In Mark's account, the Lord asked the question, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? The Lord gives some illustrations. He points back to the scriptures, but then he's got a real life example for him, doesn't he? This man with the withered hand, do you think the Pharisees cared about him at all? Not even a little bit. But the Lord did. And it's interesting how they watched the man with the withered hand, because here's the deal. He's had that withered hand for some time. It's not life-threatening. So for their law and their mind, if it was something life-threatening, they couldn't have somebody who was bleeding to death for Jesus to heal, because then that would have been okay according to their law that they had made up. But this man had a withered hand. His life wasn't at risk. And so what Jesus was doing was beyond what they decreed. So the Lord continues to poke holes, not only in their laws, but he pierces their hearts. Because they had no compassion for the man. But aren't you thankful that our Savior has compassion? This man has a withered hand. I don't know exactly what that means, but drawn up in some way, atrophied, unable to use it. And listen, maybe it had been that way his whole life. Maybe it had happened because of an accident or some disease. All I know is this, he couldn't do it until Jesus said, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. Just like it was new. Isn't that awesome? How excited would you be if you'd have been there? I mean, I just get this sense, and I don't know, I don't want to play things up too much, but don't you get the sense that it would have been really amazing to be with Jesus and watch him do miracles? And don't you think after the first few miracles, the disciples were probably kind of anticipating what he's going to do next? And they understood when Jesus says to the Pharisees, have you not read? Like, they get it. And they would probably be in the, you know, over here in the corner going, ooh, you know? I just got an idea that at least Peter and James and John were that way. And so there they are, elbowing each other. Did you hear what he just said? And there's the man. And they're waiting because nobody knows. Is the Lord going to heal him or not? And he does. And I would imagine, listen, we're very reserved in our culture today, and we try to be quiet and sit on our hands and not get too excited. But in that culture, they would have been so excited. I got an idea that when that man stretched his hand out, the disciples were cheering and rejoicing and high-fiving each other and praising God and blessing the name of God for what Jesus had done. And the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus for helping that man. You see, we, if we're not careful, we can become very legalistic. Somebody said, you can't know the law until you first know the lawgiver. The lawgiver loves his people and made the law to benefit his people as an act of compassion. Therefore, whenever you interpret the law in a way that contradicts the perfect law of love, you've misunderstood the law. You've misunderstood the law because you've misunderstood the lawgiver's heart. When we become legalistic about everything in Christianity, we're acting very Pharisaical and we miss the point. God did not make man for the Sabbath. He made Sabbath for man. You get that right? This event that we're studying tonight is all preceded by questions that came to the Lord in Mark and Luke's account about John the Baptist's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees. Why the Pharisees' disciples and why John's disciples didn't, they fasted often, but Jesus' disciples didn't fast. And so as he teaches on that, response to that, then he gives this amazing invitation. So I want you to reverse real quickly. We're going to end with this passage, Matthew 11:25. So before he goes into this discourse on the Sabbath, look at what he says. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've read that historically in the days of Jesus, all of these different Torah teachers, these scribes, these lawyers, these people who were teaching, these rabbis who were teaching others, they had their particular brand of understanding, their particular brand of interpretation that kind of defined their school of thought, okay? And that school of thought that each rabbi had was known in that day as their yoke. And so they had their own yoke. Each different rabbi had their yoke. Jesus' yoke was this. It's his main way of interpreting the word of God. His was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That was the yoke of Jesus. And so when you see that Jesus says to these people, come to me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What Jesus is saying, leave the burdens of these lawyers and scribes and Pharisees who burden you with all these things, and they won't even lift a finger to keep their own rules. Leave those burdens behind and come and follow me. So Jesus isn't just, he's inviting everybody, wherever they are, to come to him. And notice what he says. There are people who labor. There are people who are working, trying to make themselves acceptable to God. And he says, leave your labors. There are people who are heavy laden. They are weighed down with the burden, not just of sin, but the burden of trying to live up to the law. And he says, come unto me. Those of you who have a heavy yoke, those of you who have yoked yourself to somebody who is pharisaical, somebody who is legalistic, somebody who is burdening you with things outside of God, come to me. And look at what he says. I will give you. What is Sabbath? Christ is not only Lord of the Sabbath, he is our Sabbath rest. All the works of the law. Some of you raised your hand. Yeah, I've read that law. And man, it's heavy. Some of you have lived your Christian life. I've got to do this good thing and do this and not do these bad things. If you haven't checked out the new carpet yet, you should check it out. It's not done quite yet, but it's looking great. Talk to one of the carpet layers today and ask him if he was a Christian. And he said, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I learned all the do's and don'ts. But then I got married, and my wife and her family helped me to see the spiritual side of things. In other words, I came to trust in Jesus by faith, not burdened down by do's and don'ts. And some of you have been there since you've been saved, trying to carry this yoke. You've been yoked to something that God didn't intend for you to be yoked to. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. And I want you to get this. Exodus 33:13-15. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, God said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. When Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest, you think those people who had the word memorized didn't immediately think of that? They understood what Jesus was saying. They weren't just angry that he profaned their laws of the Sabbath. They understood something else. Jesus is claiming to be God. Only God can give rest. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And then he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And you might remember this from Acts chapter 7, Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. And God prophesied that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Oreb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. When Jesus said, I am meek and lowly, any Jew who knew the Old Testament would immediately think of Moses. Why? Because the Bible says in Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And so when Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest, when he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is letting them know, I am the fulfillment of these promises. I am Messiah. I am from God the Father. And when you come to me, I'll be your rest. And aren't you thankful tonight that you can rest? Can you earn your way to heaven? Can you fight your way into the kingdom? No, but you can answer his call. You can respond with faith to his invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. Our musicians are going to come. The musician is going to come. We want to give you a chance to respond, sing praise to the Lord, or to respond to him. I wish I could say more that would help you to see it. Some of you are going to get this, and some of you may not. But listen, Sometimes when I read the scriptures, it impacts me in ways I can't put into words. And maybe tonight, I don't know, maybe you're busy, maybe your mind's wandering, maybe you're tired, I don't know, but I plead with you to seek God's face and to go back to Matthew 11 and find verse 25 sometime tonight or the next few days and read these words in the quietness of your own heart and hear Jesus say, "Come unto me." Because he has not just invited those who were there in that day, he is inviting you to come to him. And yeah, is there work involved? If you know anything about yokes at all, you know it includes work. But what you're doing is being yoked to him. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Why? Because it's his. He says, "Come, come, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," listen, "and learn of me." You get to know him and you get to walk with him. So if he's convicting your heart tonight, I plead with you to respond in faith as we pray and then as we sing. Lord, I pray.